us those holy hands to lift up. Nothing we did, nothing we could do, but thank God for the shed blood. He gave us holy hands. This is not in your book. I think all of you know it. Sing it with me. Oh, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me. And when I think of all He's done and where, oh, where Jesus brought me from, I got so much to thank Him for. Just sing to Him this evening. Oh, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He has been so good to me. And when I think of all He's done and where, oh, where Jesus brought me from, I got so much to thank Him for. Oh, I've got so much to thank Him for. Yes, I do. So much to praise Him for, you see. Well, He's been so good to me. Oh, yes, He has. And when I think of all He's done and where, oh, where Jesus brought me from, I got so much to thank Him for. Oh, I gotta sing it to Him again. Oh, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, oh, yes, He has been so good to me. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. When I think of all He's done and where, oh, where Jesus brought me from, to thank Him for. Oh, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, well, you see, He has been so good to me. Hallelujah. When I think of all He's done and where, oh, where Jesus brought me from, I got so much to thank Him for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love Him tonight? Oh, when I think about what He's done and where He's brought me from, I better sing. That's what I'm up here for. You forgive me. I'm like the fellow they said was out in the field one day, and the saints didn't like some of the saints. Well, they weren't saints, but some of the people didn't like the way that he was so demonstrative when he was in church. And so they sent the pastor out to talk to him, and the pastor was out there talking to him. He was plowing in the field with the horse and the plow, and the pastor started talking to him, and he said, "You know, pastor," he said, "when I get to thinking about where I was when Jesus found me and what he did, he walked up Calvary's Hill with that cross just for me." He goes, "Here, hold the reins a minute. I got to run." So you just forgive me if I have to shout a little bit tonight, but I'm just thankful for what Jesus Christ did in my life. Amen. Mama couldn't do it. Daddy couldn't do it. My grandma couldn't do it. The prophet couldn't do it. It took Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Amen. Let's turn to page 36, Showers of Blessings. We'll try it. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshed.
machine sent from the Savior above. Oh, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Oh, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Oh, there shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Oh, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Oh, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Yes, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. If you'll stand, please. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Oh, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Yes, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that tonight they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Oh, showers of blessing, showers round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Yes, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Oh, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers. Oh,
we just want to go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And Sister Stephanie Duvall requested prayer for Nathaniel Duvall having dental surgery on Tuesday, all four wisdom teeth being removed. So I'm sure he's not looking forward to that. But we'll be praying for him that the Lord just comes on the scene and guides the doctor's hands. I hate going to a dentist, but sometimes it's necessary. So how many has an unspoken prayer request that you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Truman, would you just come tonight and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? God knows about each and every one, knows the situation, knew before you raised your hand what you were going through. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Bless you. May we bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we're grateful once again to be in your house, and we want to thank you from the depths of my heart for what you mean to us, Heavenly Father. We ask you to be with us now, Heavenly Father. Father, bless this service, this request for Brother Nathaniel. Heavenly Father, you be with him, Lord. Take care of him, Heavenly Father. May things work out well for him, Lord Jesus. We commit this service in your hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Brother Isaac, have you got a special for us this evening?
And now I know thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. He's my bread, he's my sunshine. My all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwells. And all God's fullness dwelling in Him.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that God came down and made Himself manifested Amen. In a way like that to us? Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. Amen. You love the Lord tonight? Oh, it's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending days where night will never be. Oh, it's a city where no storm clouds ever gather. Church, this is just what heaven means to me. Oh, what heaven means to me. And it's a place where there are no misunderstandings. And from all enmity and strife we're free. Church, this is just what heaven means to me. Stand with me tonight and help me sing it. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throngs upon the glassy sea? Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Oh, think about it. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee. Oh, and this is just what heaven means.
means to me. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and join the throngs upon the glassy again. Oh, and when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee. Oh, and when they crown him Lord of all, I believe I'll be there. This is just what heaven means to me. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder? Are you looking forward to it? And we join the throngs upon the glassy seas. We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. One more time together. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder? Falls upon the glassy seas. We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, yes, this is just what heaven means to me. Amen. Are you looking forward to it? Amen. God bless you this evening. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And we just want to read a couple of verses there. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 19. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Now I want you to recognize the only thing that came on the ark had it was a male husband and a female wife, and that was the only thing that survived the flood. You read your own explanation in there, but that was the only thing that God wanted on the ark, was a man and a woman. In the days of Jesus, when John the Baptist was here, Brother Branham said all those converts that were under him, if you go back and look at it, a man and a woman, a man and a woman, a man and a woman. Zechariah and his wife, and Joseph and Mary, and on and on and on, a man and a woman, a man and a woman. And so we find here, he says, of everything living of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this evening, Father, I just ask that you'd be in the service tonight. Lord, may you do the leading and the guiding. Just help me to get myself out of the way a little while as we speak about you. Father, the little thought that you placed on my heart, as humble and as simple as it may seem, Lord, may it just resonate with us tonight to realize how mindful you are of us. And and how considerate of you, of us that you are. And sometimes we fail to realize, Lord, how much you care about us, and that if you would care about a little sparrow when it would fall, and you would know even the numbers of our head, Father, then, Lord, we know that you care about us. You care about our circumstance. You care about our situation. Father, may you speak again tonight. We pray to our hearts and just draw us closer to you. Stir up something within us that would give us strength for the journey. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to look at predestination a little bit tonight, and maybe from a little different angle than we normally do. And I'll wait a little while to give you the title till we get to a point where it's relevant. But Noah was a man. Brother Branham teaches us he was a farmer. He wasn't a boat builder. He had maybe never built a boat in his life. And God calls him to build this boat that's going to survive a flood and going to survive a complete destruction of all humanity and every living creature on the face of the earth except what was in the ark. And as he goes to prepare, no doubt he felt inadequate. He's not a shipbuilder. He doesn't know much about this business. It wasn't a very big business at that time because it had never rained before. And so there wasn't a whole lot of need for boats. But yet God calls him to build this great ship and to bring everything of all flesh, two of every kind. Now, if he would have brought two roosters into the ark, you wouldn't have been able to leave church tonight and go enjoy some Kentucky Fried Chicken, because two roosters wouldn't have accomplished what God had in mind. If he would have brought two bulls into the ark, we couldn't go, Brother Dougie, tonight and enjoy a nice steak or a hamburger, because it wouldn't have accomplished what God had intended. And yet we find today in this age, because of perversion, they're trying to get us on that line of thinking. But it'll never work. God never said a man and a man or a woman and a woman, but he always said a man and a woman. In the beginning, when God created man, male and female created he them in the day that they were formed. Now, Satan has come and tried to pervert that in our age, and television and news and popular culture has tried to make that the norm. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that's not the norm. It's not normal at all. It's a perversion. But God tells Noah, he says, to bring two of every sort into the ark. And Brother Branham says, and believest thou this, in 1950, he just makes this little phrase. He says, let's dramatize this just a moment so you get the picture. And I just want to give a little drama tonight. I don't know how long we'll be here. We might be here 20 minutes or 3 hours, just however the Lord leads. But when I was 16 years old, or I guess I wasn't even quite, I hadn't turned 16 yet. I was 15 years old. February of 1998, I don't know how it came about. I don't remember what struck the inspiration or how I began to write about it. But I sat down and wrote a little story called The Predestinated Snails. And it sounds silly, but I want to talk to you about that tonight, The Predestinated Snails. And I've never attempted to preach it in all these years. But if I hadn't wrote that story, I might not be standing here before you to preach it, because I had put a fleece before the Lord as a young man, feeling a call in my life, that if I was ever to preach, that my uncle in Kentucky, Brother Morris, that he would just invite me sometime to preach without me encouraging it or anything. And I had written this story, and he read it, and I guess without me knowing it, he had told several people once he read it that he felt like I was called to preach. And we was there for a funeral of one of my dad's aunts or cousins. I can't remember at this time. I think it was one of his cousins. And he invited me to come that Wednesday night and preach, and kind of shocked me to pieces, because sometimes you tell the Lord, I'll do this if you'll do this, and you don't really expect it to happen because it seems incredible, and then it happens. And I remember going up into the attic of my grandmother's house, and I had my Bible and two message books with me, and I began to study and preach that night about a 20-minute sermon on lights in Laodicea. And I went as what I thought was fast, but it was very slow looking back on it. I went about as fast as I could for about 20 minutes, and then realized I didn't have anything else to say and just turn it back over to him. But at least I had that much sense. I've seen some brothers that didn't have anything to say and went on for 2.5 hours, but I knew it was time to quit after 20 minutes, so thank God for that much wisdom at least. But in looking back at this, I was looking at it this week, and I hadn't looked at it in some time, and you know, when God speaks to Noah and he begins to send the animals to the ark, I don't believe Noah had to go and get a butterfly net and collect the butterflies or go get a whip and a chain and try to tame the lions and try to drag them into the ark. Or I don't believe he had to build all kinds of different cages and things. But there was something about it during the time of destruction that God gave them an instinct that they recognized something was getting ready to happen, and that instinct drove them to the ark. There's something about it. If God can give animals that much sense, surely he can give us some sense to recognize that there's destruction coming and that we better get in the ark of safety while there's still time. And Brother Branham tells a story about when he was down in India. He said he was reading a newspaper there, and just before he had arrived, there had been an earthquake there, and the stone fences and things that they had built up, these little birds would make their houses in those. And he said, but just before the earthquake, they noticed a few days before, all the birds flew away, and all the cattle and things that would gather around the fence and the walls and things like that, they went out in the middle of the field instead of standing around those fences. And there was something about it. They didn't have all kinds of charts and seismologist graphs and geographic charts and different levels and things that they could look at and radars that they could shoot into the earth to see there's some seismic activity going on here, and maybe we should, you know, do something that's on the news and it's in the weather and all these different things. But they didn't have any of that. But yet they had an instinct down on the inside that God had given them. And by that instinct, they knew to get to safety before the earthquake ever took place. So I believe that in the time of trouble, God can give his people an instinct to get to safety while there's still safety to be had. As we've been looking at it on Wednesday nights about Goshen and about Moses there, how that the children of Israel living in Goshen during the time of plagues, yet there was a place of refuge for the children of Israel that they could go to Goshen, and the plagues weren't going on there. No doubt they could look right outside the city limits of Goshen and see swarms of flies and piles of frogs and everything else you can imagine going on. But there was something about it. Once they got to the city limits of Goshen, there was a borderline there that they couldn't cross. I'm so thankful that sometimes when the death angel passes or sometimes when there's something going on that we're concerned about, and maybe, you know, I was talking to a brother when the tornado hit Henryville a few years ago. There was a message brother that was there and owned a small farm, and he said he was standing on his front porch watching this, I believe it was a mile wide, this tornado as it came through, cutting through trees and cutting through houses and all these different things. And he was standing on his front porch watching it, and he's getting closer to his house and closer to his house. And he said he just stood there and didn't even know what to say. He said, Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ for my family. And he said it got right to his mailbox and it turned, stopped and turned the other direction. You say, oh my, that was just a coincidence. No, I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I believe there's safety for God's children during this time of storm. And so these animals would begin to go. And you know, you look around at any species that we have today, and you know, there's all kinds of different breeds and things that have come forth. I don't believe there were 68 different breeds of dog on the ark, but yet there had to have been at least two canines on the ark and two, some type of a cat, whether it was a cheetah or whatever it was that was on the ark there. There was some type of species of that. And then from those, they begin to go out into different breeds and things. But yet all these animals, all these species were represented there in the ark. And the cheetah could run, you know, they say they can run about 68 or 70 miles an hour. He could get there pretty fast when the instinct kicked in that it was time to get to the ark. The horses could get there pretty quickly. The dogs, you know, a little bit slower, but they could get there pretty quickly. But there was something about it. God calls, and, you know, I don't know, maybe you don't realize any reason why that he would have predestinated snails to make it through the flood. But for anybody that likes escargot, maybe you understand. I don't know. but escargot is cooked snail, if you don't know. But these two little predestinated snails there, they had to get on the ark somehow. And it wasn't like with the cheetahs, and you forgive me, maybe this is really simple tonight, but maybe it'll keep the children's attention and maybe they'll get something from it even if you don't. And you know, these little snails, they had a little bit of a harder way of going about it than the cheetahs did, and then the lions or the horses or the dogs. They had to fight for every inch that they went. And many times I think that's how it is for most of us Christians. Brother Branham says it this way in Revelation chapter 5, part 2 in 1961. He says, now Satan will constantly punch at you until you're finished here on earth. Just remember that. You'll never have a time but what there's a punching going on all the time because you're in a battle. Did you ask to come to Christ to going to a picnic? He said, well, sure, you're sure going to be surprised because it's a constant battle. He said, I've been on the field for 31 years, and I fought every inch of the way. Now, this was a vindicated prophet. This was a man that God used to speak storms out of existence. This was a man that stood there with the Son of Man ministry, and demons would literally tremble. And he would speak and call out one cancer demon, and it would get so scared that it would cry out to some other cancer demons out there in the audience and would expose them because it was so scared of what this prophet's word was going to do to cast it out. There would be some that would have maybe a nervousness or maybe a depressed spirit, maybe a spirit of anxiety or maybe whatever spirit that it would be that they were dealing with, and he would call that out in the prayer line, and maybe somebody out in the audience, he would see the light move from this one over out to the audience somewhere, and he said, what was it? It was that demon, that same spirit on another person out there begin to cry out and scream out because it knew its time was about up. Amen. I was here, and I believe, Brother Hoover, I'm sorry, sometimes I just steal things from you, but I think it was, or maybe it was my dad, I can't remember. We went to visit Brother Lauren in the hospital the other day, and I believe it was one of them saying it, but I could be mistaken, but said that Brother Billy Paul had been in a service one time, and they had a prayer line, and Brother Bosworth was just constantly mumbling over there while Brother Branham was running the prayer line, just had his head down, just mumble, 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 just mumbling something over there, and Brother Billy Paul asked his daddy, he said, why does he stand over there and mumble all the time while you're praying for those sick people? He said, well, why don't you go ask him? He said, no, I want you to ask him for me. And so Brother Branham said, he said, Brother Bosworth, Billy is wondering why that you stand over there and mumble the whole time during the prayer line. He said, what is it that you're saying? He's curious. And he said, I'm just standing there saying, poor devil, poor devil. Oh, my poor devil. He knew that his time was about to be up. He knew that he was about to be cast out. And yet a man with this type of authority that could come and he would speak and tumors would be gone. He would speak and cancers would leave. And he could speak and squirrels would be spoken into existence. You would think a man like that type of a caliber that would see maybe 40, 50 visions in a day, you would think he was always up on the rooftop and never any trouble and always knew just where to step and what to do. But you remember the Bible tells us that Elijah was a man of like passions, just like you and I. And he had his ups and he had his downs. And he had his good days and his bad days and his times where he got discouraged. And he would look and he would see the situation that he was facing. And he would make a statement like this, that in 31 years of ministry, he had to fight for every inch of the way. You say, how could that be? A man entrusted with a ministry like that, you just don't realize sometimes when God entrusts a man with something like that type of responsibility, you think the devil's just going to let that go and say, oh my, well, I guess I'll just sit by and just watch this take place. But when God begins to do something, Satan is going to fight it with everything that's within him. Yeah. Remember when they went there to the gate called Beautiful and Peter and John went walking together, and here's this man that's been lame since he was just a little boy, and he's sitting there crippled on the wayside begging, and they look on him, and he said, sir, he said, "Would you got anything for me today?" He's sitting there begging. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. Rise up in the name of Jesus. And the man began to feel strength in his joints and in his bones. And this man that had maybe never walked, he begins to stand up and they stable him a little bit. And he just didn't go and say, now, you know, this is my first time walking. Could you give me some type of a walker or a cane or could you assist me a little bit further? But once they got him steady a little bit, it said he went running and leaping into the temple. When God does something, he does it right. God doesn't do something halfway and patch it up a little bit like maybe some of us would. But when God does something, he does it right. And this man was able to go in and have a real testimony of what God was doing. But yet, Satan didn't just let that go. They begin to put Peter and John into prison and begin to beat them and begin to question them. And my, they had all kinds of problems. Why? Because when God begins to move, Satan is going to do everything he can to upset that move. But I'm thankful that there's a way of escape. I'm thankful that God gives us the strength that we need to have. And in fact, Brother Branham tells us in one place, he said, when he gave you the Holy Ghost, he gave you everything that you needed for your journey. You say, oh, I'm not sufficient, Brother Nathan. I'm inadequate. I'm not talented. I can't do this. I can't do that. That's okay. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got everything you need for the journey. You may not feel like it sometimes. You may scratch your head and wonder, Lord, how am I going to do this? And how am I going to do that? And how am I going to accomplish this? But if you've got the Holy Ghost tonight, he said, you have everything that you need for your journey. In fact, he says in one place that you are the rapture, that the rapture is inside of you. So many of us are waiting for something way off, you know, in the future to come and prepare us, but it's already inside of us. It's just waiting for the time for it to be manifested. Marriage of the Lamb, 1962. Brother Branham said, God has got the power to heal you if you've got the courage to accept it, but you'll fight every inch of the way. He says again, God has got amazing grace to save you, and he will do it, but you'll fight every inch of your way. He said, I've been behind the pulpit going on 31 years, and every inch of that has been a fight constantly. It certainly has. Every inch of it will be a fight. Satan's not just going to allow you to come and just give you a flowery bed of ease. And many times when we come to Christ or we come to the message, we just think, oh, my, now that we've received this, it'll just be smooth sailing. Brother Branham says it this way. He said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, he said, that's when the battle really starts. Many times we get there and we think, oh my, now I can sit down and rest easy. This is what I've been searching for. This is what I've been longing for. And everything will be fine now. But Brother Branham said, you let that young person come to an altar and get saved. And he said, you just see how much harder it is for him the next day. The school kids are meaner and everything else just comes against him. Why? Because Satan's not just going to sit back and let that go. But yet God gives us the strength. We might have to battle. We might have to fight. We might seems like what we're looking, if you're not careful, we begin to look for the millennium here before it's time for it. We want everything just to be nice and easy and no troubles, no trials, no battles, and just to sit back in the air condition and put our hands behind our head and kick back and relax and say, oh my, I've arrived. But the Christian walk really isn't like that. It's a battle. He didn't invite us to a picnic. He invited us to a battle. He gave us a battle plan and told us what to do. He said there's a bride that's going to make herself ready. And we've been commissioned to do that. As the bride of Jesus Christ, we're watching and we're waiting. We're trying to get our lives in order and keep our lamps trimmed. But yet all the time around us, there's pressures and there's trials and there's battles. And Satan will try to attack us mentally and tell us, oh, you'll never make it. You're not saved. You're never going to be able to make it. He'll come against you with every kind of thought that you can think of. But you just remind him tonight that he's a liar and the father of it. Amen. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, I just don't know. You know, I was thinking the other day, that, you know, there's so many other people. How would I ever make it? How could I ever be this? How could I ever be that? Don't you realize that's the devil trying to discourage you?
That's right.
I never heard God say that in his word. You know, well, you know, you know, whosoever will, let him become. But, you know, there's only a few. So, you know, you probably don't have a very good chance. You might want to just reconsider. God doesn't talk like that, but the devil does. So when you hear him begin to talk to you like that, you just recognize who it is that's doing the talking. If it's God talking, it'll be a scriptural voice. But Satan wants to discourage you. He wants you to get you to quit. He wants to get you to turn aside. He wants you to get to wear you down so much that you'll just turn and go back. I wonder if all these different animals, two were chosen of each species, except for the clean animals that they could sacrifice, because when they get off the ark, Noah sacrifices unto the Lord, and if there would have just been two of those animals, we wouldn't have had whatever it was today. They would have been extinct. So he had him take more of those type of animals, but your regular domesticated animals and most of the animals you see in Africa and places like that, those type of animals, there was two of every kind that went on, just to, you know, two giraffes, a male giraffe, and a female giraffe. And all the other giraffes out there, no doubt they were fine giraffes and everything, but they perished. Right. You say, well, why would God choose those two? Well, God's God. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do.
Amen.
Why would God let all those other giraffes perish? Why would he let all the other mice perish? Why would he let all the other dogs perish and just choose these two, a man and a woman, a male and a female, over and over? Because he knows what he's doing and he has a perfect plan.
Amen.
And Noah begins to build this ark feeling inadequate. And maybe he goes out there and preaches his heart out thinking, oh goodness, with the size boat we're building, we'll be able to fit hundreds and hundreds of people on this boat. And no doubt he was expecting his congregation to grow and to flourish. And he gets on there and he looks around. There's eight of them. And it's all just a little small family church. He looks around. Goodness, why did God have me to build this big ark? And all of a sudden, here comes two giraffes and two lions and two bears and two horses, and they begin to flock into the ark. And they were able to come and get there quickly. But Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. This word called is a Greek word, which means it's kletos. It means to be called or invited to a banquet, invited by God in the proclamation of the gospel to obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom through Christ. Called to be the discharge of some office, divinely selected and appointed. Many are called, many are invited, but it says that few are chosen. And that word chosen is a Greek word that means eklektos, which is elect or picked out or chosen by God. Hallelujah. Selected by God. Why is it that God would do it that way? Because he does all things well. Amen. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to say, God, why on earth? Out of all the giraffes that was there on Noah's Ark, why did you only pick those two giraffes and let all those other poor little giraffes suffer and die? Why would you do that? He's God. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. He's always right. I'm not always right. That's hard to admit sometimes as humans, but we're not always right. But I know he's always right. If there's anything wrong, I've looked at it many times, you know, and you see people, they begin to question, and they begin to look into the Bible, and they think they see contradictions, or they begin to look into the message, and they think they see contradictions. And when I look and I see anything like that, I'm quick to recognize it's something wrong with me, not something wrong with the Word. Brother Branham said there was a painting one time that the people were looking at, and it was supposed to be a picture of angels. And a man went to see this picture over in France, and he said it looked like the most terrible clouds and just beating together and looked like just a mess. And he began to criticize it. But he said when he got up and stood and looked at it in the right angle, he said it looked like angels' wings just beating together. So beautiful. There was another sculptor that Brother Branham speaks of that sculpted a picture of Christ and it was supposed to have captured all of the expressions and things in his face there at the crucifixion. And a man and his wife went to see this sculpture, and as they were looking at it, they said it looked just like a horrible mess. And they stood back and folded their arms and began to look at it and criticize it, like some people do when they come in and sit in church and they think, oh my, you know, the type of music that this church has, or that type of preacher, he slobbers and he hollers, and they begin to sit back and criticize and cross their arms. But the man began to come up that was kind of in charge of keeping the place, and he said, I see that you're looking at this very critical. And he said, but I just want to tell you something. He said, you see that bench there in front of it? And they said, yes. He said, go down and kneel at that bench and look up at the sculpture. And as they went and they knelt down, they began to see the expression of Christ in his face and every expression and detail that the man had captured. And he said it almost just took his breath away to look at it. What was it? They were looking at it from the wrong angle. Many times when we find fault, whether it be with the scriptures or with the message or whatever it would be, it's not because the scripture's wrong or because the message is wrong. It's because you're in the wrong position. You're in the wrong condition. You're looking at it from the wrong angle. But if we'll approach it in the right way and just get down on our knees and say, God, I don't understand, but can you just show it to me? Then I believe God is able to reveal it to us what the answer would be. Now here, these little snails, we'll go back to them. They're on their journey. They couldn't run. They couldn't fly like the birds. I was reading yesterday some of the speeds and things of different animals, and they said land animals, a cheetah, I think, is the fastest. They go on average 68 to 70 miles an hour when they're running at a full speed, and then it begins to taper off to different animals. And I thought it was kind of ironic, some of the sense of humor of God, that a gazelle and a lion run at the exact same speed. So, you know, to me, that's just a little sense of humor of God. He didn't give the gazelle, you know, a few more miles per hour to get away, or the lion a few more hour speed to catch up. But if they take off at the right time, they're just, you know, they're just fighting against the wind because they're both running at the same speed. But there's different animals that runs different speeds. Grizzly bears can run very fast for a short distance and different animals. But they said a peregrine falcon is the fastest thing on the planet. It has a dive speed of 220-something miles per hour. And so these type of animals, the birds could fly and get there and the different ones could go and run. But here these little snails are fighting literally an inch at a time to get to the ark. And they could look at one another and get discouraged. Maybe when they started off, maybe there was a whole group of them. I don't know what you call a group of snails. I don't know if it's a flock or a herd or what a group of snails is. But there was a big group of them, and they headed off there towards the ark maybe. But they began to get discouraged as they got a little further in the journey. Questions and Answers, 1962. Brother Branham said, when he calls his flock together, he may take two out of Jeffersonville, two out of Indiana, two out of Kentucky, two out of Mississippi. That's exactly what he said, not them words, but he said there'll be two in a field. That's where daylight's at. I'll take one and leave one. There'll be two in the bed. The other side of the earth is nighttime. I'll take one and leave one. Now, we read things like that, and we begin to get discouraged because if we're not careful, we begin to look around, and we think, oh, my, two out of Indiana, two out of Kentucky, two out of Jeffersonville, two out of Mississippi, and we begin to look at, you know, oh, my, there's brother so-and-so. He lives such a better life than I do. Surely he would make it before I do. And then there's brother so-and-so over here. My, he's a pastor, and this one's an evangelist, and this one's this, and this one's that. And oh my, this deacon over here, I know he lives a godly life, and he's got the Holy Ghost. So I guess if there's only two going, it would be these brothers. And you begin to look at it like that if you're not careful. But Brother Branham told us the exact opposite when we go to look at that on Questions and Answers in the Seals in 1963. He said, someone said, well, there's no need in me trying it. Brother Branham said, there's only going to be one saved out of Jeffersonville. See, now see, it's showing a parable. He said, that isn't, there might be thousands saved. I don't know. I hope every one of them saved, see, but I don't know. But here's the way that I want to believe it, he says. Here's the way that I want to believe it. I'm that one. Amen. You say, oh, now, if Brother Branham's that one, then there goes the rest of us. He said, you believe the same for you.
Amen.
You believe the same for you. It has to get to that condition where you're so prayed up and so in tune with God, and you see what he's done with your life and where he's brought you from, to where you recognize there may be only one that's going, but I know I'm that one. He said, you believe the same for you. If you don't, then there's something wrong with your faith. You're not sure what you're doing. We have to get to that condition. There may be thousands that go out of Jeffersonville. There may be hundreds. There may be, a certain amount out of Kentucky, a certain amount out of Indiana. I don't know what it'll be, but I can't stay up and worry about it all night. Oh, if there's only 57, am I going to be, you know, number 56? Or where am I going to fall in? What if I'm number 58 and I don't make it? No, I've got to get to a place to where I recognize if there's only one going, I know at least one of them that it's going to be.
Amen.
We have to get to that condition. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, how can it be? Once you have that relationship with Jesus Christ to where it's you and him walking together, then everything else just kind of fades away. And as long as you're walking with him, you'll be okay.
Amen.
Maybe the snails could get discouraged, and this group of them, maybe one of them begin to try to, you know how we do around the message, many try to intellectualize it, and they try to figure it out, and when things aren't going exactly the way they want, maybe they've got a cousin that's a homosexual, and so they try to explain away by the scriptures how that's okay, or maybe their wife likes to cut her hair a little bit, and so they try to come up with some, they try to splice some quotes together, or they try to say, well, sister so-and-so said that, brother so-and-so said that, brother Branham said, and they try to find all these excuses. Well, maybe this would be all right, and maybe that would be all right, and they begin to come up with all these explanations and intellectual ways of explaining the word away into a way that'll fit what they want, instead of letting their life be molded to fit what God wants. Maybe one could look around and say, you know what, brothers, I've been studying the quotes of Noah, and you know, we've been traveling for a long time. I mean, we've come 7 feet already. And that's a long ways for a snail to go. I mean, we've been gone for days, and we've just gone 7 feet, and I can't even see the ark yet. And I begin to study some of the quotes and some of the scriptures. And, you know, I think maybe he wasn't meaning a literal rain. I think maybe it's just a spiritual type. And, you know, maybe there's not going to be any actual literal rain. And this is just a test. And I don't think we should get over worried. I don't want to be legalistic about this and it just become about works. No, it shouldn't just be about works. But Brother Branham said, if you have faith, then works is faith expressed.
Amen.
James said, you show me your works with your faith without works. He said, I'll show you my faith with works. And so we find out they would go along and try to explain, oh, well, what if this is for nothing? What if Noah's wrong? What if he made a mistake? What if there is no ark? I mean, I haven't seen it. Has any of you seen a physical ark? We've been traveling for days. I've never seen an ark, never heard anybody talking about what it is. What if we get there and there's no room for us? What if we get there and we can't climb the ramp? And they would begin to come up with all kinds of explanations and all kinds of excuses. And this one would begin to fall away and that one would begin to fall away. And one little snail would look over at the other one and say, hey, God thought it, the prophet spoke it, I believe it, that settles it.
Amen.
And they just keep on going. They would travel and they would travel. They would get weary and people would make fun of them. Oh, I see you're in that ark cult. We've heard about you. You're never going to make it. Even if there is an ark, you'll never make it. Look at you. Look at the condition you're in. Look how small you are. Look how weak you are. One of the horses running by here to get an ark will just step on you, or something will come along and slurp you up. There's no way that you're ever going to make it. Don't you recognize that's the devil talking when we begin to hear people begin to say things like that? Oh, I knew what you were like when you were a young man or a young woman. And I know where you came from. God would never choose anybody like you. I'm sure Paul had to deal with a lot of people like that when he stood there and held the coats of the men as they stoned Stephen. I can imagine he ran into a lot of critics like that, that couldn't accept him as a prophet, that couldn't accept him as a church age messenger. But he didn't care what they thought or what they said or what the devil said. All he cared about is what God had said about him. Said, Paul, I've chosen you. He came and talked to Ananias, and Ananias said, oh, I've heard about this guy. He's a rough character. And God said, yeah, but I've called him. I've chosen him. Oh, my. Paul could say, are you sure, Ananias? Are you sure he said my name? Yes, Brother Paul, he said your name.
Amen.
Oh, man, they would travel along. Maybe they got to worrying, what if Noah likes to eat escargot? Then we're surely in for it. They begin to worry. They begin to pray a little harder. Brother Ram said this in Questions and Answers on Genesis. He said, any man that could eat a snail or rattlesnake can eat anything else. So there you go. That's what he said. Some of these countries you go into, they eat eyeballs and brains and all kinds of parts of the animal that I wouldn't even want to think about eating. But I guess if I got hungry enough, it'd sound pretty good. John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey. I was thinking, Brother Darrell, when we was preaching on the series on Moses and that plague came of locusts just so thick you could see him, John the Baptist would have been rejoicing, thinking it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. But most of us wouldn't have enjoyed it very much. But he lived on locusts and wild honey. I wouldn't want to do that. You go in some stores and they have, you know, chocolate-covered locusts and chocolate-covered this and chocolate-covered that. And there's some things even chocolate can't help. They would go along and they would travel inch by inch, foot by foot. They would struggle. They would toil. I don't know how they made it. It'd be interesting to see if somebody took a motion capture of it, you know, and you could see it, how they take clouds and things like that, and then they speed it up by about 1,000 speed and see these little snails traveling along and what they had to face and what size group they were when they started, and these two that actually make it and all that transpired. But yet God had looked down through time. I don't know why. You know, sometimes we question and we wonder, Lord, why did you allow this? I know there's a lot of sisters that wonder why he allowed spiders and created them and then why he would, you know, accept them on the ark and when he could have just done away with them right there. I don't understand why some of these things are snakes. And a little boy was telling me he has a pet lizard. He was telling me in the bathroom this evening. He said, I got a pet lizard. He said, he's only about this big, but he's going to grow to about this big. And I told Brother Ron Hamby, I said, that's exactly what you need. He said, no, I don't think I do. I don't like anything in the house that can get out and, you know, crawl around and slither on me. But some people like that. That's okay. But God, for whatever reason, looked down through time. He saw these rattlesnakes and lizards and spiders and all that. And I guess some of it's just here to equal one another out so we don't have a, you know, just get overrun with a certain species or something. But he looks down through time and he sees that there's going to be snails post-ark. There's going to be snails beyond the ark. And he looks down through time and he chooses these two snails that are going to survive and get on the ark. You say, that's ridiculous, Brother Nathan. Hey, I'm just simple enough to believe that God knew which snails it was going to be before the foundation of the world. He knew what size they were going to be. He knew how much slime they were going to leave along the trail to the ark. He knew what they were going to look like. And no doubt, you know, we have a fingerprint. I don't know how to identify snails, but I'm sure there's some way that God knows to identify each species and each animal, that he knows which one is which. And if he cares enough to think about a sparrow when it falls, and he cares enough to be concerned about all these different things, as I was saying in the prayer earlier, Jesus said that, you know, even the hairs of our head are numbered. And you know, for some of you, that doesn't seem very miraculous, but for others, it is, you know, to think that God could number some of these sisters, Sister Mita and Sister Jennifer, and some of these sisters that have hair down, you know, that drags the floor. It's miraculous to think, God, how can you know the number of these people's hair? And then you see other brothers and you think, well, God, that's not that big of a miracle. I can maybe do that myself. But he knows. He knows all about it. Brother Ram said he knew every flea, every fly that would ever be. Knew how many times they would bat their eyes. Knew how much tallow they would produce. He knew all about it. He cared enough about it to consciously think how many times a fly would bat its eyes. He knew all about it enough to think what size heart that a chicken would need and what size lungs it would need to be able to survive the elements. And then he goes and he creates, Brother Bram said, from the tadpole all the way up. And if he would have tried to put a human heart in a tadpole, it just wouldn't have worked. But he all the chemistry and all of the anatomy and everything involved in each species, he knew exactly what size to make them. What size they would be when they were born, what size they would grow to, the size brain they would have, the size heart, the size lungs, everything that they would need. And he thinks and he plans all these species out, and he begins to speak forth as these thoughts are being manifested, and he begins to create. And then from that creation, he recognizes that there's going to be a destruction in the days of Noah, and that all these animals and all these humans up to this time, he's just going to wipe the slate clean, and start back over. And when he does that, there has to be a selected few of each group. Right. A few giraffes, a couple of horses, a couple of cows. And he looks down through time and he already knows which ones he's going to give the instinct and the courage and everything that they need to get them all the way there. And he places them there in the ark. And then he sends them out and has them reproduce. And all the animals that we see now come from those few animals that came off of the ark. And then we begin to think, well, does God really care about me? Is God really concerned about my little trials and my little circumstance that I am in the great scheme of things and all that's going on in the world and all these great men and leaders and prophets and preachers and priests and kings and all these? Does he really care about me as a housewife or as a school child or as a carpenter or whatever that you are this evening? Does he really care about me and my circumstance? If he cared enough about two little snails to look down through time and predestinate them and say, these are the two that are going on the ark, I think he cares a little bit more about you and I.
Amen.
I think he has us in his thinking a little bit more than a snail or a bird or a fly or a flea, that God could look down through time. It should give us courage tonight to think, oh my, if he cares enough to plan things like that out, how much more for you and I? Romans chapter 8, St. Paul says it this way. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
You say, Brother Nathan, you just don't know. You don't know where I've came from. You don't know my background. You don't know what I've been facing. You don't know the trials. You don't know the pressures. You don't know all that Satan has tried to do. You don't know how far that I've stooped into sin. No, I don't know. But I know that God cares more about you than a snail. I know God cares more about you than a flea or a fly. I know that if God's with you, it doesn't matter what else comes against you or what Satan tries to lie or try to tell you or tries to rob you of your victory or rob you of your sanity or rob you of your joy. No matter what he comes with you against, God cares about you. He cares about your situation. He's concerned about you tonight. And he looked down through time and he knew where each one of you would be sitting tonight. He knew what time you would get here. Some of you got here early. Some of you got here late. It was all predestinated. You can use that excuse tonight. Well, I was just late to church because God predestinated it. Well, God probably would have rather you got here early and prayed, you know, and been ready and made arrangements a little bit better. But he did get you here, didn't he? He protected you on the roads. Maybe you was almost in an accident. Maybe you saw it. Maybe you didn't see it. But he protected you. He got you here. I told a brother one time I was kind of running from the Lord. And I said, brother, the brother asked me, oh, it was Brother Trevor. He said, you can be at church tonight? And I said, well, God willing. He said, oh, God's willing. God's willing is just for you. God was willing. God's not willing that any should perish. Brother Bram says that God sets barricades in our way. And he sends preachers. He sends prophets. He sends missionaries. He sends his word in book form. He sends his word in tape form. He sends us Bibles. He sends all these different things as barricades and warnings and warnings and warnings. And he said, God doesn't send anybody to hell. He said, man fights their way there. Man fights their way to hell. God gives us warning after warning and opportunity after opportunity, and he sets barricade after barricade in our way. So if you go to hell, don't lay there and blame God and say, well, God, why didn't you give me a chance? No, he's long-suffering. He gives us opportunity after opportunity. His grace is sufficient. He's caring. He's much more patient than I am. Even Brother Branham said, you know, he said, if I was God, which some people think that he was, but he didn't believe so. So I'll just take his word for it. That's all right. And he said, if I was God, he said, and I sent my word and people didn't accept it. He said, that'd be good enough for me. If they didn't accept my word, then that would be all there was to it. But he said, God, he sends his word and the people don't accept it. And then he sends his prophets and then they reject that. And he sends his ministers and they reject that. He sends his missionaries. They reject that, and on and on and on. He's so long suffering and he calls and he calls and he calls. But one day that call will stop. Oh, may we get ready while there's still a chance. May we get to the ark while there's still a Goshen to get to, while there's an ark to get to. May we get into Goshen while there's still an opportunity. God looks down through time, and if he could predestinate all these different things, if he knew where you would be sitting at tonight, if he knew what thoughts you would have, what your attitude towards the service would be, he knew what color eyes you would have, what color hair you would have. Some of you would change to gray. Some of you would change to white. Some of you would lose all of yours. He knew all about it, what it would be, where you would be sitting, what condition you would be in. He knew what your favorite foods would be, and he knew who you would wind up marrying. He knew all about you before you was ever created, before he even created Adam on the earth. He knew all about me. He knew what I would do and where I would come from, who my parents would be, and what my preferences would be, and all these different things. He looked down through time and he saw me and he chose me and he elected me, not because there was anything that was good in me, but because there was something that was good in him. Because there was something that he was calling. And when he called, he spoke, and I came forth. If he was that mindful of us tonight to get us here in this condition, don't you think he's mindful enough to take you the rest of the way? Don't you think he's mindful enough to give you the victory over what you're struggling with and the things that you're facing? I believe he's a God of predestination, that he didn't just pick and choose and say, well, I'll take this one because, you know, I like him a little better, and I'll take that one because he's a little better looking. But he looked down through time and he saw what our decisions would be. He saw what our choices would be. And he had placed something down inside of us that would respond to the word when it was spoken, where there were others that would hear the same words. How many sat there in the days of Noah and heard the same sermon preached, saw the same man, saw the same boat, and walked away and shook their head and said, total fanaticism. How many horses and sheep and cattle walked by and looked and didn't have a bit, no more idea about anything, and this other two of them walked by and said, I don't know what it is, but there's something about me. I got to get in that boat. I don't know why. I've never had an instinct to walk up the plank of a boat before, but here I go up this ramp. I don't know why, but God was preserving life. God was preserving life. Why would he call you out of a denomination or out of a backslidden condition? Why would he choose you to hear this in this age? He was doing it to preserve life. He was doing it to call those whom he had already seen before the foundation of the world. He was redeeming those that were redeemable. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. Maybe you don't feel like you're worth much tonight. But why don't you look around at somebody beside you and say, God cares more about me than a snail. God cares more about me than a snail, Brother Hoover.
Yes, he does.
Amen. I might not be worth much, but he cares more about me than a snail. He cares more about me than a horse or a sheep or a goat or some dog or cat or whatever it be. He cares more about me than them. Amen. If he could look and predestinate all of that to take place, how much more does he love you and me? Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together tonight. If I wanted to be really mean to the musicians tonight, there's a Rusty Goodman song that says, how much more did he love you and me? But I don't want to throw that on him without practicing it. But we'll sing this tonight instead. I know the Lord will make a way for me. You believe it tonight? I know the Lord will make a way for me. Yes, Lord. Oh, if I live a holy life, just shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way. You say, how's it going to be, Brother Nathan? Can you explain it to me? No, I don't know, but I do know that the Lord will make a way. Oh, yes, Lord. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Oh, if I live a holy life, just shun the wrong and do the right. Yes, Lord, make a way. How many can sing it this way? Make it personal to you tonight. I know the Lord has made a way for me. Sometimes he makes a way where there is no way. I know the Lord has made a way for me. Oh, if I live a holy life, just shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord, yes, Lord, for me. Let's bow our heads together tonight. We've got a prayer request. Sister Cheryl Cody's not feeling well this evening. Let's just lift her up in prayer tonight. Before we do, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder how many would slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, I sure don't feel very worthy. I don't feel like I did anything to deserve him calling me. I've stumbled, I've fell so many times and made so many mistakes, but yet there's something within me that I know I don't deserve it, I'm not good enough, but there's something inside of me saying, get to the ark while there's still time to get in. There's something inside of me saying, get to Goshen while there's still time. Oh, he's here tonight. He's here tonight. He sees each hand. I don't believe those hands were lifted just because some man mentioned it to you, but that there's something in your heart. There's a deep calling to a deep. Brother Bram said, if there's a deep calling, then there's a deep there to respond. If there's more of God in your heart that you're longing for, just a little bit more victory, a little closer walk, freedom over the things that have bound you down, deliverance over the things that have tried to oppress you and tried to destroy you. If there's a desire in your heart for more of God, then there's more of God to be had. He wouldn't place that desire. He didn't place the desire on those animals' heart to get into an ark, and then they get there and there not be an ark, but he had provided a way for them. He's provided a way for you tonight. Whatever you have need of, it's already a finished work at Calvary. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you tonight, you saw the hands. Lord, I don't believe the hands were just lifted in vain or just out of tradition, but Lord, sincere hearts behind those hands. Lord, recognizing that it's nothing that they could do, that they're not worthy. Maybe their friends gave up on them long ago. Lord, we've seen different ones. Some of them, even family members, look at somebody and say they'll never make it and give up on them, only to realize years later that was a predestinated seed that God was dealing with. No doubt many could look at Paul when he stood there and they stoned Stephen and he held their coats while they picked up rocks and beat this man in the head with rocks until he died. No doubt they could look at him with such scorn, say, I remember that guy, he put my grandmother in jail. He'll never be a predestinated seed of God. But it didn't matter what they said or what they thought. God had a different plan for Paul. God had the final word. Lord, there's no doubt many that have looked at us down through the years, different ones. They could look at me and say, oh my, that guy will never amount to nothing. That's right. There was nothing in me that could have. But Lord, it was you that was doing the work. Lord, each one of us that can look back from where we came from, maybe you picked us up out of the pits of sin somewhere. Maybe you picked us up out of utter confusion, out in the denomination somewhere that we thought we were doing something right. And Lord, we were so confused by false teaching and different things. But yet you were so mindful of us that you found us. You picked us up and you cleaned us off. And Lord, there was nothing in us that was worthy of it, but you had us in your mind before the foundation of the world. Lord, I just ask you to be with each one. Help us to recognize, Lord, it's nothing that we did in the first place to deserve it. Nothing we could do to earn it or inherit it, but it was what you had already done for us. Help us to accept it by faith tonight. Lord, be with our sister, Sister Cheryl, Lord, tonight as she's not feeling well. May your Holy Spirit go to her just now and touch her. Heal her, Father. May a testimony come forth from it. Lord, I don't have the words sometimes, Lord. Sometimes I don't have the voice hardly to say it the way that I would want to. But Lord, you know the meaning behind the heart, Father. May you just speak to each heart here tonight. Lord, may it not just fall on empty ears or Lord, on hearts that won't receive it. But Father, may we not just be hearers of the word, but may we be doers of the word also, Father. Thank you for your presence here tonight. Thank you for what you're doing among your people, Lord. Father, may you just help us to lay aside everything else. Lord, just cling to you. You're all that matters, Father. Everything else, Lord, it's going to fade away. It's temporal. But Lord, may we cling to that which is eternal. May we make sure our relationship with you, our experience with you. May we make sure, Lord, of our calling, our election. Lord, may we make sure everything's right. As Brother Bramman's talking of the black brothers said, oh, I don't want any troubles when I come to the river. Lord, help us to make sure everything's made right here, Father. Help us to, Lord, just be able to have peace with you. And may you just give us a peace and a joy, even in this wicked age, Father, when just insanity and all kinds of things going on around us, Father. But yet, may you just give us a peace in the time of the storm. Father, may you just minister to hearts tonight, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, too many miles behind me. Is that how you feel tonight? Too many trials are through. Too many tears, oh, they help me to remember I've got too much. There's too many rivers, Lord, my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. Oh, I've got too much to gain, to lose. Maybe this is your testimony of where you came from. Oh, I've crossed the hot burning deserts. I was struggling for the right road to choose. And I knew somewhere ahead there was clear water, and defeat was one word I just won't use. Let's stand and sing it tonight. There are too many sunsets that lie behind the mountain. Oh, there are two. Yes, Lord, my feet have walked. Yes, Lord, waiting over too much to gain, to lose. Well, old Satan tries to stop me, turn me aside. He said, no need for you to go on. Why would you even try? Oh, even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. Oh, but I just say, Satan, that just proves you're a liar again. Cause I'm gonna keep pressing. Oh, is that how you feel tonight? On and on and on. Lord, I'm pressing on. Oh, I won't turn back. Cause I'm pressing on to the high. Maybe those snails could look at one another and they could say, well, old Satan, he tried to stop me, tried to turn me aside, and he said, no need for you to go on. Why would you even try? Oh, even if there was an ark, you'd never make it in. Oh, but we just told Satan, devil, that proves you're a liar again, because we're going to keep pressing. Oh, on and on and on. Lord, keep us pressing on. The bride won't turn back, cause she's pressing on to the higher call of our Lord. Well, journey on, little bride, your change is soon at hand. Just a few more days of trouble and you'll be in that land. That same Lord Jesus that kept you by his power, he's gonna send down your theophany in that resurrection hour. You just keep pressing on. Oh, on and on and on. Lord, I'm pressing on. Oh, yes, I'm Maybe Satan's tried to lie to you. Maybe he's tried to discourage you. Oh, just recognize that it's the devil trying to lie to you tonight. Oh, and he'll try to stop you, turn you aside. He'll say, no need for you to go on. Why would you even try? Oh, even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. But you just look at him tonight and you say, Satan, oh, that proves you're a liar again, cause I'm gonna keep pressing. No matter what he says, no matter what lie tells me, I'll just keep pressing on. Oh, I won't turn back. No, I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Oh, let's sing it again. Oh, yes, I'm pressing. I don't care who turns back or who falls away. I'm pressing on. I've come too far. I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord.
I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. Oh, the Lord I know ruling over everything, and all of my worry is vain, 'cause I'm living by faith in my Jesus above. Is that how you feel tonight? Oh yes, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Well, it's from a heart saved in its sheltering arms. Yes, Lord, oh, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light, oh, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies, 'cause my Master looks on at the strife. So I'm living by faith in my Jesus above. Church, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Well, it's from a heart saved in His sheltering arms. This church is living by faith. Oh, yes, Lord, and I feel no alarm. Maybe this is your testimony tonight. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Oh, why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, when my Jesus walks close to my side? So I'm living by faith in my Jesus above. Oh, I'm trusting, confiding. Oh, I don't have to worry. I'm in His great love, and I'm from all heart's sake. No matter what the devil says or does, I'm in His sheltering arms. Oh, I'm living by faith, and I feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. Oh, my Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Oh, I'm living by faith in Jesus above. Yes, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. I'm from all harm saved, 'cause I'm in His sheltering arms. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand tonight, and greet them to the service. From all hearts, say, in His shelter.
a shout. A message like that, I tell you what, that blessed my heart. I've been on this earth almost 59 years, and no one ever explained to me why Noah had to preach 120 years until tonight. Now I understand. The snail started when they first heard it. But he had to wait till the last one came in. Amen. Amen? Listen, the devil may come to you and he may try all kinds of things. He may tell you all kinds of things about Brother Nathan. He may tell you things about me. He may tell you things about Brother Branham. He may tell you things. They're all lies. You just remember this. This is going to be my testimony. Oh, I'm not giving up. Oh, no, I'm not turning around. By the grace of God, I'm going to win a shining crown. One of these days, I'll keep holding on. Yes, I will. To that nail-scarred hand, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Now, would you mind to tell me? You see, there's something been bothering me. Why is it that old devil, he just won't let God's children be? See, he's purposed and he's determined. He wants to get right in our way. He wants to turn us from this way of life, lead our souls astray. Oh, but I'm not giving up. How about you? I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'm gonna win a shining crown. One of these days, I'll keep holding on. Yes, I will. To his nail-scarred hand, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. I've been a-walking through this valley, through this vale of tears. At times I've even questioned, even if my Lord was near. Many times that old sinner, he says, why not turn around? Well, you can't go any further, boy. You're just a losing ground. Oh, but I'm not giving up. Is that how you feel tonight? I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'm going to win a shining crown. One of these days, I'll keep holding on. Yes, I will. To that nail-scarred hand, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Well, I'm not giving up. Oh, no, and I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'm going to win a shining crown. One of these days, I'll keep holding on. Yes, I will. To his nail-scarred hand, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. You're dismissed if you want to be. I'm not giving up. Oh, no, I'm not turning round. Grace of God, I'm gonna win a shining crown. One of these days, I'll keep holding on. Yes, I will. To his nail-scarred hand, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep